Sunday in my church, we have a number of public Bible readings, from first lesson, second lesson, some appointed for the service, to the epistles reading. Now, when I'm not distracting myself by whispering something to my wife's ear, I pay attention to these readings and I learn a lesson or two. At home, I share these lessons with my family. And on Sunday Lesson Podcast, I document these lessons for future reference and for anyone who cares to get them. Hello and welcome to Sunday Lessons Podcast. I am Brother IJ.
The third lesson we are taking from this week's reading is from Matthew chapter 24 verse 11. And the Bible says, "And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people." Verse 12, "Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved." Praise the Lord. That's why we're going to take our lesson for this episode. And the lesson here is very simple. That he that endures to the end will be saved. Now, what the scripture just described there, or what Jesus described in that passage, is that on the last day, like I said earlier after our first episode, Jesus described a few things that will happen to show that the end of time is coming. And one of them is the fact that sin will increase. It will become rampant. It will become everywhere. You and I can see that sin has seriously increased. Things that we used to do secretly when I was a child, they do it now openly as if nothing did happen. Well, I don't know. What is it really possible that nothing will happen? I don't think so. I think something will happen. It's just that what they think will happen, or what they think will happen will not happen, or they don't know that what's going to happen has already happening or will eventually happen. That's why I said earlier in our first episode, sometimes people continue to live in a way that is not pleasing to God, and they think nothing they shall. The day it will shall, it will shock them. That's why, I heard people say things like this, that on the last day, on the judgment day, some people will go shock. Yes, most times when I hear it, it's used to refer to people will be shocked, in the sense that you see some people you are not expecting in heaven. But I'm also sure that the shock will also be that some people think they are going to make it to heaven, they won't make it. Yes, they won't make it. Like I said, there's a path that seems right to a man, but the end is destruction. There's a manner of life you can start living. Yes, you start living that life, you think it's normal, you think everything is going on well. On that road, on that path, you'll be driving very fast and moving well. When you get to the end of that road, it's destruction you're going to face. So no matter how smooth the ride is, no matter how fast you moved, what will happen is that you end up getting into destruction. That's the way it works. So, point I'm trying to make with all of this is that sin is rampant. And then the reality is that the pull of sin is very real and strong. You see, that passage we read, we talked about the fact that love of many will wax so cold, and then sin will be everywhere, and you know, different things that will happen. Even false prophets will come to complicate issues. The reality of life is that sin is everywhere, is more rampant, and because it's done more openly, it now starts appearing as if it's normal. For that reason, the pull to sin becomes stronger. This is the way, one of the things that you should have. I don't know, this is not a really scriptural thing. I think it's a sociological thing. The way life works is that people don't like to be judged harshly. Like, people want to be approved by their community. However, when the community approves a thing that is bad, it encourages that thing to thrive. That's one of the reasons why these people that promote homosexuality, lesbianism, and the rest of them, they don't want people to speak to those people in a way that makes them uncomfortable to do what they are doing. So they try to make it easy and nice to make people come out in quotes. So that's what they do. That's how it works. In the same way, in our environment, some things that were abnormal. I know when I was a child, women don't used to allow you to see. There's something they call shimi. I don't know whether shimi is an English word or Igbo word, but there's this clothes that they wear inside. Before they now tie their wrapper or wear skirt or something, they pull it off very well so that you don't even see it. Of course, you can't see people's brown hands and all of that. They cover it very well. But these days, Jesus Christ, people do all kinds of things. And they do it openly. Also, in the past, there are things you people don't do in church and they don't do, and they get awards, they get titles in church and all. But these days, people just do it. People, you know, you don't know the source of their income. In fact, you have gists that are relatively credible
about these people that these are 419 people. These are fraudsters. Their money is not pure. You can't verify where they got their money, and they will come to church and you give them titles like dickies. You make them knights. These are knights who are really darkness. And I mean, you will call them father of faith, which is a father of foolishness, father of Satan, father of fraud. So we find in church that we ordain all kinds of people. We give all kinds of people title and recognition. So what happens is that the young people who are looking, or environmental people who are looking, just feel like that's the way to go. It's not just young people. As I started growing up, I read that peer pressure is not a secondary school thing. Peer pressure is a human thing. So there are some degrees of pressure people will suffer. So when we see people like that are rewarded, those who crave this kind of reward feel like, let's go there. So for that reason, there is a very strong pull to commit sin. In the midst of that, I want to just let you know, we need to remind ourselves that sin literally drowns people. Although the sin pulls people like that, they eventually destroy. Like I was saying earlier, the end of that road is destruction. The road may be smooth, it may be full of fun, you enjoy. But the end of that road is what? Destruction. In the same way, there's a road that does not seem right to a man, or that looks very crooked. I mean, Bible said straight is the road that leads to life. It's tiny. You have to squeeze yourself in and all of that. However, we'll know from the scriptures that that road leads to eternal life. What I'm trying to say is this. No matter how rampant sin has become, no matter how much it appears that people thrive committing sin, I want you to know, I need you and I to constantly remember that sin does not profit anyone. The end of the road of the sin is that it drowns those who actually revel in them. So for that reason, you and I have a duty to ensure that no matter how strong the pull to sin is, we have a stronger attachment to Christ that pulls us away from sin. Like I said earlier, one day Jesus Christ is going to come back, and that day of reckoning is coming. We are doing this series, we are picking these lessons because we want to know what we should do to prepare for the day of judgment. And no matter when you see sin, please don't be carried away by what you can get from that sin. Understand how much of a poison that sin is going to be to you, and how much it's going to deny you a chance to sit with Jesus Christ on the last day. How much it's going to rob you of eternal life that you really get. Listen. You see, this time I've seen people die. And sometimes a close friend of mine died last year, and that was the first time that death really, really, really pained me. Like, young person and all of that. And I feel like, what's the meaning of this one? So, conclusion of what I just told myself is that, in this life, just live your life in a way that when God looks at you, say, well, you're doing what I asked you to do. Because actually, that was when it started becoming very, very clear to me that indeed, this world is not our own. We are just passing by. This world is not your own, my brothers and sisters. You are just passing by. This was like you left your father's house, you went to your friend's house to play. You are going back to your father's house. You don't want to go to your friend's house to play. And then when they talk about your father, they say, that man is a stupid man, idiot, you say, call your father all kinds of names, insult your mother. Where are you going back to? Who is going to welcome you into the house? That is how this world is. You cannot, when you are going back to God, and here on earth you deny God. Jesus Christ, I'm going to deny you with my father. It's a lot of times we think that denying God is to say, Jesus, you are not God again, or Jesus, you are not the Savior. No. That is part of denying God. But you know, the real denying God, you are supposed to be a Christian. You come into an office and people are trying to make decisions, and they expect God, Jesus, to be represented. And they say, no, I don't know Jesus. Yes, I know you don't say that with your mouth, but do you know how you say those things? They are trying to make a decision to defer the person on a board level. You are a board member of a company, and they are trying to deny somebody his money, deny a vendor his money, and you sit down there and you don't open your mouth to speak for justice. You are denying Christ. They put you on a board in your department to investigate a fraud, investigate sexual misconduct, and you sit down in that panel and say, let me not offend anybody. Let me not ruffle any feather. They put you on their panel because they expect you to open your mouth and say your own opinion in that panel. And you say you won't say the truth because of preservation of your job. You have denied Christ. By behaving like that, what you have simply done is that you say, this job is more important than pleasing Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus Christ is an idiot compared to my job. These are things we say without opening our mouth to say those things. And I say, when we do this, we deny Christ every day. When sin pulls you,
when the craving of good things of this life pulls you, when you make promise to your clients, I want to go the other way with your deliverables, when you promise on your label that you do mix flour like this, mix this quantity of protein, mix quantity of vitamin, and then when it comes to manufacturing, because of cost of things are skyrocketing, you now want to change this thing, and you won't change your label, what you are doing is that you are denying Christ. Because in this world, the world is looking for who are those who are for Christ. The world is looking for who are those who are standing for Christ. Who are the Christ ambassadors? And when they look at you, hoping you raise your hand, you bring down your hand because you cheat. Because the moment you cheat, you misrepresent Christ. And they know those who are follow Christ are not like this. I mean, Paul writing to the Christians those days, he said, you did not learn Christ like this. So they say, I don't want to ruffle the feathers of those who are. Which kind of ruffle feather? Okay, you don't want to ruffle people's feathers, but you want to ruffle Jesus Christ's feather? No, is that what you want to do? The pull of sin is strong. However, it drowns people, because the end of that sin is destruction for anyone who participates in it. Now, the truth of the matter is that you and I can really live unpolluted by sin. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Because we know, he said, those who stand firm, who are not moved by this, and those who endure to the end, they are the ones that will be saved. If you think you can't live unpolluted by sin, let me give you a few information. I remember there was one I was courting with my wife. And this whole, you know, I'm a young woman, I'm very healthy, I'm not sick, in Jesus' name. I was not sick before. And everything that happens to a normal, non-sick person who is in a relationship with a normal girl, fine girl for that matter, happened to me. So it continued, and we just wonder, what's going on here? Then, in the course of that, God started helping my eyes to understand a few things. So that was the first time in the Bible, the part of the Bible that says, God has given us power to live above sin and walk above the devil. Like, what's God again? He has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. Yes, that was when the scripture makes sense to me again. So God gave me everything that I need to be able to live godly. So I have the power. Let me explain to you, no matter how strong the pull of sin is, if you are a believer in Christ Jesus, if you have given your life to Christ, you don't have to fall down to, the moment you say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, like you repent of your sins, say, I'm sorry for all things that are coming, and I don't want to continue, I want to just follow you, Jesus. When you do that and ask God to be your Lord and Savior, you have been saved from that pushing power of sin, that power of sin that pushes you into sin, or that power of Satan that pushes you into sin. You have been freed from it. You know what's the next thing? You can decide to waste that power or enjoy it. You know the way you can have power in your house and decide not to turn on your fan or AC, and then you are dying of heat? That's how it happens. Maybe because of ignorance. So I'm telling you today, if you have given your life to Christ, there's a power given to you to actually stand firm and not get polluted by sin. That's one. Number two, we have seen people stand firm for Christ, for God, even when they don't have the power of Christ. Joseph say, I don't know. Maybe this is a trend in Egypt. Find Oga's wife, go see fine slave boy, they talk to the slave boy anyhow. Be stroking his baby, be touching him and all of that. But say, if that's your tradition, I don't know. Of course, this is not scripture, I'm just trying to modernize that story. So even if that's your trend, if that's what the culture is, madam, I no go do this kind of thing. The guy stood firm, they collected his shirt and he ran. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is another set of people. They stood so firm, they were willing to die. Daniel stood so firm, they threw him inside what? Lion's den. Point I'm trying to make with all of this is that there's nothing like it's a decision of a country. You can give yourself that excuse, but what I'm trying to say is that I chose not to give myself that excuse. If I commit a sin, or God, now you could just go carry yourself, go sin. Now you know, go tap the grace that God they give. Now, you know, go position yourself where you're supposed to be. I was listening to Pastor Banky preach at that time. He said, the problem why many people fall into sin is because you will not resist temptation when you should resist temptation. You allow the seed to conceive, the seed to be conceived. Once it's conceived, it has to be delivered. I said earlier when we were talking about being immovable by temptation, I said persecution, one of the strongest ways to stand firm for God is that you don't hold your life like your life is more important than Christ. No, you don't. So you and I can live unpolluted by sin. The moment we choose not to do, persecution will show. And so what? Jesus Christ told us it will happen. They did it to him. They did it to the early apostles. They will do it to you too. It's not anything. It's one of the proof. The persecution, whatever wound you sustain because of the persecution, is a mark, is a stamp, is a badge of your apostleship, is a badge of your followership. So we understand that we can actually live unpolluted by sin because we have all things that pertains to life and godliness. We have been in Christ Jesus. We have power to live above sin and walk above the devil. That is matter of fact from the scriptures. So we can either decide to waste this on talking about it, but I'm encouraging you, please, let's do our best to walk in the light of this truth. Temptations will come, sin will abound. Sometimes this sin, temptations for this sin will even come from our spouses. Sometimes it will come from people who are very close to us, our parents. I mean, Peter was Jesus Christ's right-hand man, but the brother one day started saying words he didn't say. Satan used him literally. So we have an assignment to ensure that if the sin becomes rampant, get very close to our spouses, we know when Satan is speaking to our spouse. Get close to our parents, we know when he's speaking through them. Get close to our children, we know when he's speaking through them. And when this Satan actually starts speaking through our pastors, or people who have respect, or people who preach like I'm teaching like this, we also know not to listen to them. Because a man may be full of the anointing of God, and then after a while start backsliding to the point where Satan starts using him. So even though he's married, you come to his office for counseling and start touching you anyhow. My brother, sister, it's just Satan that is using him. And we have a duty to remain unpolluted no matter how sin has become rampant. The reason is because in Christ Jesus we have been given the power to live above sin and walk above the devil. It's at least one of these that I understand. God is not a wicked person. He doesn't ask you to give what he has not given you. He doesn't ask you to do things you can't do. It's not like all those math teachers in secondary school that when they are teaching in class, they will use simple example. When they give assignment exam, they will use the hard one. No, God is not like that. It's not like that. I'm serious. Everything God asks you to do, he asks you to do them because he knows you can do them. So when God says, stand like this, he has given you power. I think the problem you and I have is that we don't take advantage of the power he has given us, one, and we are very careless. Careless that we allow sin to get us to the point of no return, and then we'll try to return. We have an assignment to stand firm for God, faithful to the end, and keep the love of others alive. I can't allow myself to start talking about keeping the love for others alive now because, I mean, that would take us a whole 2 hours to discuss them. So I think what will happen is that on another episode, maybe on scriptural sense, I'll take time and talk about keeping love for others alive, even though inside this world, the temptation, the sin, and everything on this world, try to put the love for others, kill it. We'll talk about this in one of these days, but the point is that no matter what is happening around us, no matter what's going on, no matter how much temptation is coming, please, let's keep our eyes where it should be, on the crown. Remember that in Revelation 2:10, Jesus Christ said, those who endure to the end, I will give them crown of life. We have an assignment to preserve our faith. We have an assignment to remain faithful to the end. Because those who are faithful to the end, not those who are faithful small one time and unfaithful another time, that God rewards at the end of the day. May God give us strength to actually follow him hard after him. Give us grace to walk in manner pleasing to him. Give us the wisdom not to expose ourselves to a position, to not bring ourselves to a position where we'll be helplessly under the influence of sin, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I will continue this series by looking at what Jesus Christ said in Matthew 24:17. I want to say, where it talks about that when the gospel of the kingdom is preached the whole earth, then the end will come. So the question is, what's my role in the spread of the gospel of the kingdom? After that, we'll talk about how God gathers his chosen one. Who are even his chosen one? And then when we're done with that, we'll now go to the point where he talked about, I mean, in that passage also, we'll just talk about a master that went out and rewarded his servant who was faithful. And what makes a servant faithful? How do we qualify for a master's reward? And when we're done with that, we'll learn how do we keep watch, knowing that the day of the coming of the Lord is like Noah's day. Nobody will be informed. Nobody knows this. How do we keep watch so we don't get swept away? Please follow me in the next episodes and I'll get to explain all of these things. You just listened to an episode of my podcast. More episodes, blog posts, and books are available for free download on broij.com. Your feedback and questions are welcome through hello@broij.com or 0806-3967-498 on WhatsApp. To get snippets of my Bible notes on the go, follow me across social media platforms @TheBroIJ.